The rule of three states, things that come in threes, are inherently more appealing than those that don't. With the next generation GMC Sierra, Canyon, and Sierra Heavy Duty, we couldn't agree more. Whether you choose to have the world's first six-function multi-pro tailgate, available only on the next generation GMC Sierra SLT, AT4, and Denali models, to confidently take on heavy loads with the available 6.6-liter V8 Duramax turbo diesel in the GMC Sierra Heavy Duty, or to get behind the wheel of the only midsize premium pickup on the road, the GMC Canyon, you'll realize all three help you do one thing. Go professional grade. Step up to GMC and get 20% below MSRP on next generation 2019 GMC Sierra Double Cab and SLE Crew Cab models with a traditional tailgate. We are professional grade. GMC. Offer includes price reduction below MSRP and purchase allowance. Not available with special financing, lease, and some other offers. Take retail delivery by 9/3/19. See participating dealer for details.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero, the Dew Sweeper. You're about to listen to an episode of The Tour Coach, which is going to give you an inside look at coaching golf at the very highest level, from on the PGA Tour with my guys all the way to here at Mobile, Alabama in the Dew Sweeper Dome, as we help folks of all skill levels, all walks of life, learn to achieve their golfing goals.
Welcome to Pinehurst Golf Magazine Top 100 Summit, where some good friends of mine, we're going to pass the phone around again. Sorry, I'm new to this.
We're going to talk about a variety of topics. We're going to talk about junior golf. We're going to talk about where golf instruction's heading. Do we think it's good, bad, or indifferent? And we're going to talk about my pet peeve, which is people that put videos of players up on social media that they don't teach. It's my pet peeve. I don't like it. All right, so we're going to introduce ourselves. So we got Wayne Flint to my right. If you've listened to Tour Coach, you've heard Wayne. I'm going to leave Brady last. Kevin, go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Kevin Sprecher. I'm the director of instruction up at Sleepy Hollow Country Club in New York. I've been there for about 17 years now. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. You sat next to me at dinner. We kind of had to bring you in here. Just kidding.
My name is Chris Smeal, founder of Future Champions Golf at San Diego, California, and happy to be here with this group.
Absolutely. To Oscar De La Renta.
My name is Oscar De La Renta Sachs, and I'm a teaching professional at Porter Valley Country Club in Los Angeles, California. Been there about 2.5 years.
My name is Don Sargent. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, side of Country Club, home of Jack Nick Sarge, everybody calls me, where Jack Nicklaus learned to play the game, where Bobby Jones won the U.S. Open. Neat spot. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And the hack.
Mark Hackett, Old Palm Golf Club, 17 years. We're here to grow the game. We're with my good friend Tony. Been there apart when he walked down the aisle again. Good friend. Happy we got Wayne and I got a little emotional.
Hey, awesome. You're a friend, you're going to have to do it again. You know, like I always say about my fourth wedding. And I mean this sincerely. If after four it doesn't work out, I think at some point you got to look in the mirror and say it could be me.
Only after four.
I don't know what else to say after that, but Eric Johnson, Director of Golf and Instruction at Nemacolin Woodlands Resort and Spa in Farmington, Pennsylvania. I was at Oakmont Country Club in Oakmont, Pennsylvania for 17 years of my career, and it's been awesome to see a ton of opens. And thank you, Tony, for having me here tonight. Thank you.
Brady Riggs, number 99 on the scoreboard, number one in my heart. I snuck off today, played 9 holes.
Sensational holes. We played fantastic.
We played Pinehurst number one, where 60, I played the old Donald Ross Jr.
We played about 6,000 yards, didn't we?
61.
We went all the way back. Yeah.
A lot for you.
A lot of dew in the air.
Yeah, a lot of dew in the air, and played out of your bag, so I felt like that helped me, because your stuff was much lower launch than mine. Yeah,
this is true.
So let's just start with, I'm going to change direction where we started before we thought I was recording. Let's start with the instruction. We've all been teaching golf a long time. How has teaching changed since these summits you've been coming to? What is the good and the bad of it that you've seen? I just thought I'd get people fired up right off the bat. Yeah, because I'm going to eat some.
Go get him.
Is it me?
Yeah, you start.
Come on, go get him.
What's the good is that we have more information than we've ever had. The bad is that we have more information. People just get lost in the details too much. So I think it's weird how the old stuff is still really effective. You know, There's not a lot that has changed. Just we found different names to call things now. But one it's still the same
one of the cool
stuff.
Things today, but like Chuck Cook, legend in the instruction.
Legend.
Right? Did a presentation on the golf machine and where it is today and tied a lot of the new stuff that we heard from the Michael Jacobs and all those different people on, you know, and tied it all together. And I think that's cool, though. But I think there's still a relevance to old teaching today, which sometimes I think gets pushed out.
It does. And it's sometimes new isn't always better.
Sarge, what do you think about that? You're at a place where they're you and Hack.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a real feeling about what you just said. I think that for those of us that have taught long enough before we could measure everything, learned how to teach a different way. I think the measuring abilities that we have now with TrackMan and Swing Catalyst or whatever you want to talk about is fantastic, but in the end, you still got to teach golf, teach the game and not read the computers. And I thought with what you said about Chuck, tying the old and the new is it's good for all of us because the young guys don't need to just read the numbers and the old guys need to be able to use the numbers. Yeah. And I think that we can't go all numbers and all data like it feels like sometimes we're going, like Brady said.
That's interpretation.
That's right.
All but it like, is you know, like, you like from Wayne better. And Kev and I with having Toski. I mean, he was on the cutting edge. I mean, it's all about, we have to educate. It's us to move forward and educate the kids. Because the parents are brutal. So they all want to be the new Tiger Woods.
The numbers
but for
are
us,
to help,
the control.
The numbers are to help us teach better, not to teach for us. And it's awful easy to just lean on that and say you're three right and four left. And well, how do I fix it, you know?
Right. Well, I think one of the things I always talk about is in this age of technology, is you get people that, like, you still should be able to teach without all the technology, right?
Butch says that all the time.
Butch says it all the time, right?
The rope.
Yeah, and, you know, and I've been to summits before, and I've watched people with the technology that, like, if the technology broke, they were lost, right? And I don't think that's good for our game. And, Kevin, I'm going to turn this to you because you learned to teach under Jim McClain, who, like, Jim was 100% – like a, tell me if I'm wrong, but he was a forerunner and pusher of using technology and on the cutting edge of trying to research shit stuff. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. So like, but he's as old school as they get too. Like if you think of one of the legends of golf instruction, you know, and then Wayne, I mean, you and I both learned under Hank Johnson. He would have been one of the, he would have been one of the early ones on the TPI side. Right. I mean, all the stuff he did with Alabama Sports Medicine and Institute.
That's
remember
right.
That book he did was in that jogging suit.
That's
I mean,
right.
That was cool. Right. So go ahead and talk a little bit
Jim
about
was Jim. Body for it. Jim was a hands-on kind of a teacher. He liked to get his hands on the player and you know, he knew ball flight laws, even when the training book that the PGA used to put out was incorrect. You know, he used to say, you know, they used to say the face controlled the curve and the path was, you know, it was the opposite. Jim always said, you know, the path always determined the curve and the face was this. And he was able to measure it and studied it. And he and Carl Welty did a lot of videoing back in the late 80s and early 90s. And that was kind of at the forefront of everything. And then I remember back in, it was 19, I was Jim's assistant in 93, 94. And we had a guy come in and we used to draw lines on a TV. And then he developed, this guy worked for IBM and developed the program so we can actually draw lines on the screen. It was called SmartSense, I think, or SportSense back then.
He had this, Wayne had this thing called the pickle. and now it may have been a knockoff, something he bought, like off of a guy downtown Birmingham or something. Yeah. But like he had this thing called the pickle where you plugged it in. No kidding, it looked like a pickle. And he drew on this. Wait, am I wrong? No. And I mean, people came from all over Birmingham to see Wayne with the pickle.
That's right.
But it was on the cutting edge.
But Jim saw the advantage of technology for the students because the students learned faster. I mean, as a teacher, we all use it and it helps us. But I find the technology, the students learn a little bit faster. For you know, for
absolutely,
you know, you can turn the power off, and any one of us can give a great golf lesson. But I think the student will get it a lot faster when they see it and they repeat it. And that's a great thing with all this new technology.
Foundation.
I think, yeah. Well, it's also a way to measure: are you really getting better? Yeah. We can see a player swinging 10 degrees out to the right, but when they see the number, and then they make a couple of swing changes, and they see the numbers at 4, it kind of helps them learn. So I think technology is a great way for learning feel.
And Wayne, I'm going to give
you... Instead of guessing, you can measure.
And I'm going to give Wayne some props. So like, I was a college player. I'd worked with Mark Wood, right? And started working with Wayne. Woody was in Japan or something, probably, right? And telling everybody over there what he knew. And started working with you. And you were on the cutting edge at that time. So that was before Trackmans and all that. But you had the VCR, which not everybody had. You had the good camera.
Channel, yeah.
Where cameras. You could do it frame by frame. Then he had the pickle, which was huge. I loved the pickle. and then you had all that. And then you had the laptop where you could draw the lines, you know, with the V1 and all that stuff. And, like, I think that makes a difference. So, like, I don't think that by saying you're old school and that you teach real golf means you don't have any technology.
Right. I mean, I got one of the first laptops when they still had the yellow and red plugins to them, you know, before all the HDMI and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it was really expensive back then, but I jumped in on that early on because I thought it was important. And, you know, I liked what I saw today. I mean, you saw a lot of stuff being talked about of the 3D and all that stuff. And then we ended up kind of with one of the legends of teaching, Chuck Cook, who we all have watched. And, you know, I've known him for years and years and respect him. I can't even tell you how much. And Chuck, you know, kind of did an end around of all that stuff and talked about how some of the things that he believed in early on, how he thought that, you know, those were still very valid points and very valid things that he wanted to teach, and then kind of brought them into modern day, if you will, how some of the things that people have disregarded that he still uses still fit today with some of the 3D and all the stuff that's being measured and proven and all that. And, you know, he brought Toski into the mix, and, you know, how some of the stuff that Toski told him, you know, way back when, how it was still valid, you know. And I think we're too quick. I guess I'm getting older, obviously, but I think we're too quick to throw the older guys under the bus, so to speak, just because we got some new stuff out there that's great. And it is great, you know. I mean, Tony, we got the Swing Catalyst and we use it all the time. And, you know, I mean, stuff is great to see what's really happening. But you still, like Don just said, you still have to be able to, you know, apply that to your student. You still got to get them to hold on to the club correctly. You know, one of the great things I saw today was George Gankus. I mean, he actually looked at the guy's left-hand grip and the club was too much in his palm, and he actually put it a little more down in his fingers.
That's the first some bitch at a teaching summit I've seen fix a grip.
You don't ever see people fix grip anymore, and he did it.
10 years.
And I don't know that anybody even saw him do it.
But I mean, when's the last time at a teaching summit?
Yeah, I don't know that.
Somebody big in front of anybody teaching, you saw fix a grip. That was real teaching.
Some of that stuff, you know, fixing a person's left-hand grip when the club's hanging a little open, you know? I mean, those are the things that you have to do, and I thought it was great, you know? I mean, here's one of the hottest young teachers out there. I mean, he's certainly done a great job marketing himself, and, I mean, you can't say he doesn't have interest because everybody knows who Gigi is, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, he's done awesome for the game.
Wayne and I were talking earlier, and you and I were talking during our leisurely nine, Brady.
Yes.
What? Man, have I told you how nice that nine hole was on that one?
The sun coming down perfectly with a full moon. It's amazing.
We held hands for a while.
Yeah, we did take a selfie. I'm not afraid to say we took a selfie. Wow. You can check us out at Brady Riggs, at Brady Riggs, or at Red Goat, or whatever. But we are going to need more drinks. But I would agree with you. Like I said to you, like, I would have fixed the face earlier. I fixed the face earlier, right? And obviously, people didn't see this, but like, so George fixed the face later, right? He made the left wrist, if we're talking about bow or go into flexion later. So I would have done it earlier. But like, I think that's kind of the beauty of what we're all seeing here is that there's a bunch of different ways to fix it. He's had a shitload of success, right? Some of us would have fixed it different ways. But I think that's the cool thing about all of us getting together about this. And that's one of the good things to me about golf now is that there's a lot of different ways to do things and there's a lot of people talking. And I think that part of golf instruction is in a good area.
Yeah, I think the thing that scares me is that working with different players, so many good players still don't understand ball flight.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't know why the ball started where it went and why it curved the way it did. And they may be really, really good. But it's kind of strange that we have all this technology. We kind of know it. But I think sometimes as teachers, we may take it for granted that the student knows it We probably have to continue to get better at teaching them so they can fix themselves, because ultimately that's kind of what we're supposed to do, is give them the tools to help themselves so they don't have to come back to us.
Yeah, but ultimately they have to find out what ball flight they want. Like, you know, right. Lucas.
Yeah, wants to hook.
The shape of the eye. Like you said, when he was there, you talked to a bunch of the juniors. He said, like, the ball starting right. He never wanted to have the ball cross his target. So he'd always wanted his mind's eye, which he did a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, like, went off the charts.
Right.
He had the best 2 years.
Best 2 years he's had in a long time, for sure.
Which is smart. And, I mean, but you have to find out what their desire, what their right. big miss is, and what forces the eye. Right, Kev?
Absolutely. I think.
Because I have Brad talks about that all the time.
Oh, yeah. No, but I think a lot of it, you know, going back to what Brady says, kids, and some kids do understand what makes the ball curve, but they don't understand how to make it curve. Like, I got some really good juniors, and I say, okay, hit a draw, and their alignment doesn't change. I said, well, how do you do it? They said, well, I just feel like I closed the face in the downswing. I said, that's fine, but it's hard to be consistent with that. You're going to hit it 20 yards left and 30 yards left. And tying into the technology, I'll have them go on TrackMan, and I'll say, okay, hit a shot, tell me how much it's going to curve. So let's say curve 15 feet. I say, well, make this one curve 25 feet. They just can't seem to figure it out until you show them that you got to change your alignment relative to your face, and then they can help dial it in. Yeah.
Wait a minute. We could have a Brandle sighting coming out of here.
Top of the game.
Yeah. You're not going to believe. I want to just call one. The last time you came by, I thought I was recording and I wasn't. We went 4 minutes before I realized I didn't have the recorder on.
I'm disappointed in you guys. The wings are still there.
We got talking.
This one's me and Brandle.
What is the
junior golf?
We're talking about junior development, the state of instruction today.
Nice.
Can we get a quote?
It's amazing. You see kids come out at 15, 16, 17, 18 years old that they look like tour players. Mm-hmm. So I've said this. I think instruction is getting so much better. I mean, I really do. You see kids come out and they're fully equipped to compete at the highest level. Professionally, look, we've got unprecedented levels of young, accomplished talent. You've got Joaquin Niemann, who's 20. Sungjae Im, who's 20. You got Matt Wolf, who's 22. Colin Marcaw, who's 21 or 22. Who am I missing?
Victor Hovland,
who's 21 or 20. I mean, all these guys are coming out at 20, 21 years of age, and they're hitting the ground running. You used to get on tour. You need 5 years to sort of find your way.
When you came out, you didn't think you would win in your first year on tour, did you?
No, I didn't. Honestly, you were just not ready. You were looking around for a year. You're going, that's Tom Watson. I want to swing like Tom Watson. Or that's Lee Trevino. I want to swing like Lee Trevino. These guys come out here and like, you know, I can swing better than any of these guys. You know, that they know that. You know, they got all the data. They're good. They're well trained. They're in great shape.
Yeah, the fitness. The fitness is a big thing too.
Fitness is important.
When we didn't have anything, I mean, it's like, you know, when we grew up, it's like fitness was bad.
Yeah, I mean, guys
it was bad.
Guys looked like bankers. You know,
no, they don't want to. It's like you're gonna mess your swing up. You can't do other sports. Yeah. You're gonna mess your swing up.
Yeah,
but you know what it is, Tony.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's sport.
Yeah,
oh, for sure. For the sport.
But when I was on tour, everybody was my size. They were fatter than me, but they were my size. Yeah. They were 5'9", 5'10". Now they're 6 foot, 6 foot two.
Cheeseburger and a Coke and beer.
They don't eat that stuff. And they're 175, 180 pounds. Yeah. So what's amazing, though, is that, I mean, it's coming. The speed is coming. Because in the last 10 years, 2007 to 2019, there really hasn't been an appreciable amount of increase in club head speed on the PGA Tour. I feel like that's because the swings, as good as they are, they could be better. You know, I think guys, I've said this and I'll continue to say it, they restrict their turn. What Cameron Tringali did this last year, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow, is amazing. I think it's one of the, I think, coolest bits of phenomenon that's happened on the PGA Tour since I've been covering it. To see a guy do what Cameron Tringali did last year, all because he went old school.
Sure.
You know, and he did it with new school guys. He did it with the TPI guys, yep, Greg Rose and Phillips. So that's cool that these new school guys are kind of adopting old school ideas, however you want to put it. But and also I think social media is good for teaching because it works as like peer review in a way. This teaching always needed peer review.
But you're playing Wood Brothers. You're playing Persimmon. We grew up playing Persimmon and Woods.
Good looking wood.
Right? I mean, it was like, think about the technology too.
Yeah, they didn't go anywhere.
Right. They look good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The teaching today is great. You know,
oh, 100%.
I mean, it's getting way, way better. You see kids come out and they're, you don't think the teaching's better?
No, I'm kidding.
You know, I think it is. Don't get me wrong. I see, there's just still ideas I disagree with.
What are some of those?
Track man, the toy.
I have all those.
No, in all honesty, it's just, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, any of the left-leaning ideology, I just don't find any basis in it. In fact, now, I see some relevance there for people who have a hard time moving and are just worried about making contact. But, you know, I'm worried. I want to talk about what the greatest players of all time did, what the greatest ball strikers did. None of them hung left. Not any of them. None of them even kept their head stationary. They all moved.
Sneed. I used to watch Sneed.
Even Sneed. I mean, we just did it, and we'll do it tomorrow. I mean, Sneed turns right, and he moves. And look, I'm not talking about a lot.
It worked for Toski.
Right.
Bob. And what? He still can play at 9 years old.
And what? Toski agreed that they move?
But he does move. He always told about the head floating.
And they turned their hips.
His ship.
Right.
Swing, ship, turn.
A lot. Yeah.
Swing, ship, turn.
So you guys, maybe you know, maybe you don't.
He was 90 pounds.
But Cameron Tringali is 6'2", 175, and he used to tell people he's the shortest hitter on tour pound for pound. So he swung 111 miles an hour. And last year he swung 119 miles an hour. That was the biggest increase in the history of statistical record keeping. And he was the most strokes gained. And he did that by one change in his posture. He started being more sloppy instead of having, you know, a concave lower back or lordosis. And two was he just got a deeper turn of the right hip, lifted his lead heel, which means he's got more time and more time to create speed. And he picked up 8 miles an hour, eight and change.
Well, one of my students who, he didn't pick up what Cameron did, but Lucas Glover had a good year last year. He drove it further. The biggest thing we've worked on he worked in the gym with his trainer, Colby Touye, and me, was for 2 years we've worked on turning his right hip more, letting his right hip release and turn back. He wanted to hit a draw again, get to really hooking it more than anything, because he'd gotten away from that during some of the TrackMan stuff, was letting him really turn his right hip back so he could get to the inside of the ball, but it created more speed and got to hit his draw, and it works.
Was he restricted his right hip? Is that why he couldn't turn it?
You know, I think over time he had tried to zero out a little bit, and that let him slide a little more going back, trying to not swing it out. And then certainly some of the gym stuff that we got him doing there that he, when he started working with Colby, paid off, but made it easier for him to do it all the time, I would say, is more than anything. It made it, he could do it on a range good, and he had a good year the year before, but last year he was able to physically do it more of the time and play the longer season that he had to play.
Into the tour champion.
Yeah, it was a good, super year for
Lucas. Who does
vote for Lucas? No, super guy. Awesome guy. Look, I'm being serious when I say this. I started following him from you, Brady, a few years ago. You started the recognition of junior teachers, which I think is something that should be recognized, and following your tour. And like, if you follow it on social media, like I'll do occasionally, like when I'm sitting through some of these things that we're watching today, right?
That's a good time for it.
Anyways, you find... But, like, it's amazing how many kids, or not kids, but, like, guys winning on tour have a connection to your tour. I think it's cool as shit. Like, you know, you'll be so, I'll be like, and I'll see you pop up with something like, what the hell has he got to do? You know? You know? And then you'll be like, hey, he won such and such once. I think that's cool. It just shows you how deep the talent is out there.
And to Brandel's comment on yours is, yes, the instruction's better. The kids are practicing better. The courses, they play better. And they're playing tournaments that are... more like what they play when they get out there.
Right.
So all of a sudden, when Brandel went out there and he's seeing Tom Watson and he's trying to just get out of his way, these kids have been playing that type of an event.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they're starstruck as much as they used to be.
They're not scared now. Yeah. I mean, look at Hovland and Colin and Wolf. Those guys all went out there to win. They weren't just trying to, you know, have an experience or make a cut.
Even John,
their mindset was completely different. They're ready to roll. It's a completely different mindset.
Jordan didn't wait.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think junior golfers, their golf IQ is way higher.
Yeah.
Just with the internet and the access to all the information, I think that's a huge advantage. Everything. It's all part of it.
Kids come in nowadays, you want to fit them for a set of clubs, and like, you don't tell them what you're going to fit them in because they give it all to you. You know?
They already know.
They've already read everything that's out there, and they got chaos in their mind.
But, you know, one of the things I've tried to do, obviously you've experienced it in the stuff we do together, but so I try to expose my juniors to people that are successful on the PGA Tour as we were talking today about the stuff we do at Frederica. Mm-hmm. I do at Frederica. And, like, I try to take 6-8 kids at a time and bring them in that are good players or wanting to be good and bring in the Waynes, the Bradys, the Hacketts, but then bring in a Colby too. Yeah, you saw that at Old Palm where you bring in a guy that trains Justin Thomas and Dustin John, I mean, all these tour players, right? Harold Varner, Smiley Kaufman, and, you know, Lucas Glover, all these guys, and let him train them. And then you bring in a mental coach that works with 4 or 5 guys, and he goes on the golf course with them. Like, to me, the kids that really want to excel and that really want the info are going to find a way, if you give them access to it, to get something out of it. Or just think, and I know we're not alone in doing that, but I think that that's an important part in these kids getting 100%, good.
But they're the most respectful kids, though. All those kids.
100%.
Yeah.
They know, they get it, and they're appreciative of it.
That's the cool part of doing it, though.
No, if they want to have it, they're appreciative of it.
Mm-hmm. That's the cool part for me.
Not like mom and dad just dropping them off.
Mm-mm. The notes from the parents. Yeah. That was the greatest weekend of their life at Old Palm and those things.
We're going to have the next one. You know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's okay. You know? Yeah. And we've started doing that at Frederica, and it's cool because I take a smaller group. You came down for the last one. Hack, Sarge, Brady, we got to get you guys there.
Yeah.
Chris, I mean, you. Sprecher, you're bringing some in March, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to get down.
He surprised me. Dad didn't even know. He's just sneaking in. That's like submarine warfare. But
but I bring them down, and they get to work with Phil Kenyon for a day, mm-hmm. Randy Myers, so, you know, the fitness guy and the putting guru on the tour, and they all love this stuff.
Yeah.
And they go back home and tell all their friends about it, and, you know, just they all excel.
Yeah.
All these guys said, you know, we have a good junior program where I'm at. I was talking with Wayne about this earlier. But I think for a lot of the young coaches out there who want to develop juniors from that sort of 10, 11, 12 age group and beyond, I mean, all these guys here have a lot of success doing that. Maybe each of them can pick a favorite story or kid. It doesn't have to be like the kid who played at, you know, Alabama and won 10 times on tour. Maybe some kid who was like a real chopper when they were 10 or 12 or whatever age. And then maybe each person can share a little, like, hey, I got this kid when he was 15 and she was, and now they're there, and maybe like one or two things you did, maybe something that sticks out. I think that'd be pretty cool. Tony, let's start with you. This is your
show. Tell a story. No, I mean, that's a tough one.
It's all about trust first, right?
Yeah. I mean,
they got to respect you first as a person.
I'll tell you a story. There's a kid I taught that when I first started with him, you know, he shanked every shot, couldn't break 90. Was born incredibly premature. His dad played college football, NFL football, that, but like couldn't break 100, right? And couldn't break 100. And his goal was to be able to play college golf. And he was like a freshman in high school. And I'm telling you, when I'm telling you the truth, you know who I'm talking about.
I know exactly
couldn't,
what you're talking about.
The first 20, 30 balls we hit during this lesson, he shanked every one of them. Couldn't break 100. And when he was a senior in high school, he got an offer to play college golf at a junior college, right? And he got where in Florida and in the high school state championship. He played in the Florida high school state championship, and he shot in the mid to low 70s. I mean, like that to me, like I've had kids that obviously had 3 kids playing the Walker Cup and stuff like that. But like that was to me, like Wayne and I one time were sitting somewhere drinking beers at Shocks Everybody. And Wayne was like, man, that's teaching. Like, that's teaching golf. Like, yeah. You know, I mean, like, we've all had kids that are super uber talented. And like Bobby Wyatt, Robbie Shelton, I probably couldn't have screwed them up bad enough. They wouldn't have turned out decent, right? But like this kid, man, I actually did a decent job on that.
It's fun, though, when that happens, because you don't anticipate it happening when you first get them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a kid that comes and you think he's okay. Mm-hmm. And when my first year at Oakmont 99, a kid came to me.
You were at Oakmont too?
Eric took my job, took my place.
Really?
Up there, yeah.
Wow.
And 1999, he was a freshman in college, and I was like, just a lesson, you know? Wasn't anything much more than that. He could putt. It was Nathan Smith. He won 4 U.S. Mid-Ams. and played in four Walker Cups, played in the Masters four times. Jeez. And if the first five lessons that I would have given you with him, and he or I are best friends now, still to this day, if he would have told me that he was going to play in four Masters and four U.S. Mid-Ams, and he won the first four ball, he's won five USGA events, you know? And that's a guy who's taken his game from, you never could have dreamed he could have gotten that good, you know?
But that's teaching.
That's teaching golf.
But that's teaching golf.
And coaching.
That's not presenting. That's not social media.
That's teaching and
coaching. That's teaching and coaching.
That's right. That's coaching. I mean, it's a little bit of coaching. It's more coaching.
But that's different.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, I mean, that's the good of golf right now to me.
It is.
And they ought to recognize more Sarges than we do some of the other shit. Now to you, Brady.
To me. Well, my best story is, of course, Oscar.
De La Hoya?
No, that's his boxer brother. That's De La Renta, the jean designer.
Man.
This is the longest running podcast I've ever had.
I'll be
quick.
We're going
to do this. No, this is going to be like a trifecta.
This could be a, well, you could, yeah, it could be a series. The most fun for me has been my daughter because.
This is a great story.
Yeah, she was a, you know, because you've known her for a long time. She was a very good soccer player and had a future in it, but she had a concussion because she's like 5'1", and made a choice not to keep going because she just didn't see, you know, didn't see herself getting out unscathed. So she started playing golf, and now I'm so lucky because I get to help her out in college golf. And she, I think one of the only 2-day events she ever played in as a junior golfer before she played Division I was in Chris's tournament. So she started at, you know, kind of serious, maybe as a senior in high school, but now she's, you know, way better than I ever was. But it shows you what, it's certainly not me, it's talent, but it's also really intelligent, hard work.
Yeah, because I know you did some things, like it was a lot of on the golf course.
Yeah, that's, I think, the biggest thing now. Like, I'm always doing stuff on the course with people.
I will tell two stories. First story is I walked in the pro shop here at Pinehurst 2 days ago or yesterday, and the guy in the pro shop said hi, and I thought he was just saying hi because he was nice in the pro shop, and he's like, I was in your camps when I was a kid, and now here I'm working at Pinehurst. And it was like, I looked and I'm like, oh my God, that's Kyle. And I didn't even, you know, he was...
That's cool.
He didn't...
He's all grown up.
He was all grown up. He's 25, 26 years old. Like, I didn't spend that much time with him, but he's a golfer now, and he works at Pinehurst. I thought that was extremely special.
Cool.
But I think one of my favorite stories is I had a kid, a girl, and Brady knows her. She came to me at 6 years old. She was extremely good, loved the game. After about 2 years, she took my group classes for about 2 years, and then all of a sudden her mom came to me and said, they didn't have any money. They couldn't do this golf thing. I'm like, you can't not do golf. How can you not do golf? Like, she's awesome. So I said, she can take a private lesson every week. No charge, just do it. And so after about 8 years, she got a full ride to play golf, college golf. Never charged her a dime. She played the whole year, or for years. And she's playing D1 golf now. And it's probably one of my favorite stories. And
congrats, yeah.
That's, yeah, awesome. Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Spreck.
Yeah. I got a kid that's a member. Super talented kid. Super high. Man, he's 12 years old, swings a 795 miles an hour.
They're going to know you're talking about him.
Yeah. He'll know. But he was one of these, you know, super cerebral kids. He wanted to learn the game on his own. So I'd give him a little bit of information. I wouldn't see him for 2 weeks. And he'd come back and we'd formulate ideas and plan some things. And he'd, you know, go away and come back. And he was a late bloomer. So his junior year, he started his scores, he was shooting mid-80s, and his scores came down. And it wasn't until his senior year until he started getting recognized by college coaches. And his dad came to me one day, he goes, we got a problem. I said, well, what? I said, well, he's got an offer from Yale and an offer from Princeton, and Stanford just showed up to the table. I said, well, I don't see the problem. So he was just, you know, so he ended up going to Princeton to play. But just, you know, he kind of learned it on himself, taking the information that I gave him, would go formulate his own ideas, come back and relearn some stuff, and we had to cut out some of the information that he was doing was wrong and whatever. But, you know, learning how to control all of his speed, because he was, you know, he wanted to hit as far, he still does. You know, I talked to his coach the other day, and he's hitting, you know, 7-iron speed's about 108 now. And his coach says, you know, he can't hit a 7-iron 150 when he needs to. you know, everything's, you know, 195. So he's still learning as a kid, but that kind of that kind of a development with a kid was kind of fun to watch and experience. And
hot and heavy.
His goal was to play college golf, but we never thought it would happen just because how late of a developer he was. But he popped at the right time and saw the right people, and kind of fun to see.
So I think we kind of wrap this thing up before I have a few parting shots. With Joe Hallett, joined us late to the table. Joe?
Yeah, Joe.
Joe, top hunter teacher, one of the great teachers in the game, had so much success on all levels. Tell us a good story about a junior you taught. Maybe it's not the best.
No, really cool story, and it's about what this game does to people. I had a young lady show up that the parents were from Kentucky, and they said, we kind of want to know if she's any good. And at first, I thought it was kind of a plant. I'm like, what other instructor sent you over here to kind of see? A lot of natural talent, worked through it, ended up getting a scholarship. And it's one of the coolest things that's ever happened is she came back and she said, Coach Hallett, I'm really scared. I'm like, I don't know if I want to play. And she played good as a junior, earned a right to get a scholarship, and she was really scared. And I literally relayed to a couple of tour players, and one of them said, here's what she needs to do. She's got to play 1 year. She committed. This is the most important. This is the first decision she'll ever have in her life. And if you go back on that first decision, you're going to regret it the rest of your life. She played 1 year and said, thank you, and thank her and her for telling me to go through and do this. It wasn't even about ability. It was like, I don't know how I'm going to do against the other players in the team. And it was one of those where she's, from that day forward, completely different individual with confidence that you wouldn't believe. And it's not even golf. It's just all about life. It was crazy.
That's awesome. This has been pretty cool. I think one of the cool things as we wrap it up is about what we do is every now and then we all get to get together. And Joe came in and we've all sat here. And it's an interesting collection of the minds. But the cool thing is we run into each other on the road at different places, see some of you guys more than others. But it's cool to share information. And anyways, I appreciate everybody sitting in tonight. And let's finish this wine. And Brady, thanks for taking me out for 9 holes, going around the old block one last time. Pioneers number one. Hadn't done it since the old Donald Ross Jr. when I was 15 years old.
We dominated.
We kicked their ass.
Cheers, man.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Tour Coach with Tony Ruggiero. If you enjoyed this, make sure to hit subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you are listening to this podcast. You can stay up to date because we have weekly episodes coming your way with fascinating people in the world of golf instruction at the highest level. Make sure to subscribe and stay tuned. If you want to learn more about Tony, head over to dosweepersgolf.com. to get all the details on what he's up to. Maybe you want to see him, grab a lesson, or go to one of his camps, pick up his book, Lessons from the Legends. You can do that there. If you want to see Tony in action with some videos and other content, head over to golfsciencelab.com/Tony to get more info there. This episode was powered by the Golf Science Lab and was edited, mixed, and produced by Just Hit Publish Productions.
There's one thing if you know about me, if you've listened to the Dew Sweepers, you've come to listen to me talk, is you know I'm big on loyalty. We give 100% here at the Dew Sweepers. We put a lot of emotional investment into everything we do with every one of our players. And the same can be said for our partners and the folks that have been with us for the long haul and helped the Dew Sweepers, help our juniors, help us get to our tour players. And so I want to give a special thanks to our sponsors. Our sponsors are first and foremost Buick, and our local Buick dealers here around the Southeast, Schrixon Cleveland Golf, who've been with me for over a dozen years, and their belief and support of what we do here with the Dew Sweepers. And lastly, the folks at Vineyard Vines. The folks at Vineyard Vines love what we do with junior golf. They support us on the road. There isn't a better family or group of people that are going to help us look our best, play our best, and have more fun than the folks at Vineyard Vines. So special thanks to our sponsors. Please support those as you get the opportunity. And for more information about any of those, check us out at dewsweepersgolf.com, or you can always check me out on Instagram at TheDewSweeper.